being on higher ground really means to be on the ground, standing on the rock of Christ. And that's such an important thing for each and every one of us. And this evening, I would like to spend the time encouraging all of you that are here. You deserve to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged. And so I'd like to go down that road. I originally wrote this afternoon, and I had 12 points for you. I narrowed that down to 6. And Lord willing, we'll get through that in expedient time. The Apostle Paul, he wrote something to us in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. And you'll probably want to keep your Bibles in hand because I think we're going to read a few of these. But Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10 is what we want to read. The Apostle here, he writes, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Have you ever thought about what it really means to grow weary? And especially growing weary while doing good. What does it matter if we give up when we're weary? When we're tired, when we're drawn out. Is Paul saying that we must never grow weary? Is that what he means? That we should never be tired? That we should never feel like we have to give up while we do good? Of course not. That's not at all what Paul's saying. But there will be times when we labor in the kingdom of the Lord, when we work in the Lord's vineyard, that we will be pounded by the storms of life. That's a given. But the title of today's message, I hope, will fit you well, because the bottom line is giving up is not an option. And that's what Paul is really saying. There will be times when we just feel like throwing it in the bag, giving it up, throwing in the towel, I think that is the term. And just giving up and giving in. There'll be times when we question ourselves, asking, you know, does it really matter if I give up? There's plenty of people out there doing the work. What difference does it make? Why should I keep trying when I'm growing so weary and so tired? And possibly these storms of life, they'll come at us from different directions. Sometimes it's specific temptations we face, lying, cursing, profanity, gambling, immodest dress. The storms come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. It could be pornography, fornication, adultery, the temptation of drugs or alcohol. The storm may be decisions about spiritual priorities, you know, trying to interact between school activities with our children and the things that we do at home and the things we need to be doing for the Lord's church. Sometimes it's our job. Sometimes it could simply be some sport or hobby that we have and we're juggling those around and it's And the temptation to do that instead of this is, it gets to us. Our storm could be unresolved issues in our lives. It could be something that we did in the past. Something that we committed that we knew was wrong now. Poor judgments, even matters that were beyond our control. Something we would call as an accident that we were involved with. Just relentless pressures from around. Diseases. Growing older. Facing death of loved ones. There's all kinds of temptations. All kinds of storms. Gospel preachers. Elders. All the saints. We're all affected by these things. We can all grow weary while doing good. We can all be under strain. We're all facing battles which must be fought. And sometimes we need the power of God, the truth of God, and one another to hold us up. James says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and you shall be established." He says that, you know, we come to the Lord in faith. We give everything to the Lord, and if when He's the one that holds us up. We have been tempted, all of us, to retire from the battle, to give up the fight. It's a temptation. At least to relent and give in. And we need to be especially cognitive of Paul's message and the principle that he lays out in this kind of a sermon or message. Because Satan, he's out there, and we all know that. He's out there trying to wear us down. He's trying to tire us out. You know, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, what did he say? Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by all the brotherhood in the world, by your brotherhood in the world. And the truth is that most valuable tool that Satan can have is when he can attack you when you're weary, when you're growing weary, and when you're trying to do good and it's starting to hurt. You know, it's when we have thoughts like, well, is it really worth it? Does God really need me in that mix? Does anyone even care that, you know, I'm laboring so hard in the Lord's kingdom on my own, that I'm working so hard? Does anyone care that I strive to bring righteousness to the unsaved, that I work outside in the community? Does anyone care does it even make a difference that I speak up for the truth? We all have those thoughts. And the short answer is yes. That's the short answer. That's what I want you to get right in the beginning. Yes, God knows, God cares, and God understands what you're going through. God can identify with you. You understand that, right? Hebrews chapter 14 and verse 15. He was here. He was on the earth. He was tempted in all points just as we are. He understands. And when we think of this, growing weary, okay? Did Jesus grow weary? I hope you're going like this, because he sure did. You know, we can go over to John chapter 4, verse 6. The Christian Standard Version of the Bible says Jesus was worn out from his journey and he sat down at the well. Let's turn our Bibles over to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And this is something that, you know, we're all familiar. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, what we're reading about, it says that on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat on the boat so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Why was he sleeping on a pillow? Because he was tired. He was worn out. Jesus went from town to town to town. He faced adversaries everywhere. He was it was a constant battle, a good against evil. And here Jesus is worn out. Remember, Jesus told the man that says, let me follow you. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Following him meant weariness. It meant work. It meant toil. You think about that. And Jesus often prayed. Luke 19:8, he was praying to his Father in heaven. In Luke 11 and 1, he was alone praying. He was praying in a certain place. Matthew 26, verse 35. He was in the garden praying. The point is that Jesus got tired. He got weary. doing good. And so all the more we can be wearied by doing good. And so that's the natural. But we all need to be encouraged. That's what his prayers were all about. Jesus spoke to the Father often. He prayed often up on the mountain, down by the river, the seashore. Jesus prayed to the Father often. And if Jesus can be weary, how much more so can we be weary? And we all need encouragement. And so here's six reasons why I think we should never give up. Giving up is not an option. And number one, because of God's love. You know, that's right. You heard me. Correct. It's because of God's love. It matters to God. And God loves you so much. How much does God love you? So much that he sent his only son into the world to be side by side with man to bring the gospel of salvation so that we could have a hope in heaven. You know, 1 John chapter 4, let's read that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. 1 John 4, 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Because of the love of God, we should never give up. Giving up is not an option. You know, see, if we're left to ourselves, we would feel unworthy of God, of his love. But we understand that all have sinned, all have rebelled against God at some point. But God's love doesn't fail us. His love is powerful. It does not fail. Even when we're hopeless, helpless, when we feel doomed to hell by our choices and our sins, God's love is always there. The door is always open. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, Romans 5, 5 and 6. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, we can't give up. We can't claim to be without strength because now we have the love of God working on our side. You think of those words of Paul. And therefore, when you think of what his love did for you, what did God's love do for you? Bringing Jesus down, coming to this world, walking among men, suffering, being crucified, dead and buried, raised from the grave. What did God's love do for you? It poured out the blood of Christ on the cross at Calvary. And what is it if you should give up? That would be betraying the blood of Christ. That would be turning back to your old way of sin. So don't give up. Secondly, don't give up because of Christ's sacrifice. Christ was willing to give up all the glories and the fruits of heaven, all the grandeurs of heaven, to come down to this earth. You know, that this old sinful world, just so that he could suffer and die. Because of his sacrifice, we never want to give up. Giving up is just not an option. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, Jesus loves you. He wants you to be saved. And he's willing to die that perfect sacrifice for your sins. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. What did he say? Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He sacrificed himself willingly. We don't want to give up. Knowing everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus endured, all the sacrifices Jesus made, and for our salvation, that should be more than enough motivation to say, I am never going to give up. He didn't give up on me. God's love didn't go away. And his sacrifice, it happened, and it happened for me. We need to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul put it, and lay hold of eternal life, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Being faithful until death? That was never billed as, oh, it's going to be easy. Be faithful until death. It's easy. Don't worry about it. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Remember what Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Take up that cross, follow Jesus. Because of his sacrifice. Jesus says, because you're not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John chapter 15, verse 19. It's not going to be easy. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But in the world you'll have tribulation, he says. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. It's not going to be easy. And self-denial, rather than self-indulgence, is necessary in order for us to not give up. It's necessary to maintain our soul salvation. The temptation to give up, you know, it encroaches on self-pity. We forget about the love of God. We forget about the sacrifice of Christ for us. And dwelling on those things only serves to destroy us. It'll never build us up. It won't add to our godliness. So that's number two. Number three, because of you made a commitment. It should say, because you made a commitment to the Lord. That's right. You made a commitment to the Lord. And that's why it really matters that you keep your promise. That you made a commitment to love and obey the Lord. You know, remember, I love the Lord with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my soul. When you were working in the vineyard of the Lord and you get really weary doing good, remember your commitment. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, does that describe you? Romans 6, 3 and 4. Is that something that describes me? You? All of us. Do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ? We were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, you should walk in newness of life. You made a commitment. You were baptized. You repented. You obeyed the gospel. You were baptized. You confessed Jesus before men. You made that commitment. There's no higher commitment that we can make than to serve the Lord. To break that holy and sacred vow is to violate and to nullify every hint of honor that's in us. Honesty, integrity, that should be ours. And so because we made a commitment, we should be encouraged by that. Understanding that God has raised us up to walk a newness in life, and part of that newness of life is to work in the vineyard, to work in His kingdom. Number four is because heaven and hell await. I hope I spelt that word await right. My wife will let me know. But heaven and hell, they await. Does it matter if I grow weary and give up? If I decide to just call it quits, like I said before, throw in the towel. You better believe it matters. It matters if you want to spend eternity in heaven with your Father to see the face of God. It matters if you want to spend eternity in a place where there is no more sin, where there is no more guilt, where there is no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more darkness, no more depression, no more death. Surely it matters. We work and we labor, and it's not going to be easy. It should be hard. If it's easy, something's wrong. We labor, we grow weary in doing good, but we don't want to give up. And I don't even have to ask you, does it matter? I think we all have the same exact answer. Because I know you don't want to spend eternity in hell. Because that's the only other option. If we give up, we turn ourselves over to Satan. And I know that's not where you want to spend eternity. That's not where I want to spend eternity, in constant torment. Having guilt all around me, being disappointed always in darkness, depression, anguish, regret. Well, I'm sorry I gave up. Pain, punishment. Because heaven and hell await. They both equally, they're out there, they're waiting. Don't grow weary in doing good. So that on the day of judgment, you will hear the Lord say to you, if you're, you know, look at Matthew chapter 25 at verse 34, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those are exciting words. Hang on to those words. Let those words encourage you. Let them strengthen you. This is why I work. This is why I labor. This is why? Because I want to hear those words. You want to hear those words. We all want to hear those words. Don't grow weary and give up the fight. Because you don't want to hear Jesus say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't want to hear that. Verse 41. You don't want to grow weary while doing good and give up because you don't want to go away into everlasting punishment. Verse 46. Therefore, brothers and sisters, all of us, the harder it gets, the more we must depend on God's love, the more we must be very cognitive and very sure about the sacrifice of Christ. And because you made a commitment, I made a commitment, and because heaven and hell awaits, and we want heaven, not hell. So the harder it gets, the harder we fight. In spite of the trial, in spite of any kind of test, we must press on in serving our Lord Jesus Christ in view of judgment day. That's number four. Number five, because you are the light of the world. If you're not here, the lights go out. Think about that. You know, on the day of judgment, Jesus is going to come down in the clouds, and He's going to raise the dead in Christ. That those who are living are going to be raised up and taken off the earth, and out go the lights. No more light. Jesus was the light of the world when He was here. Jesus died, was resurrected, ascended up into heaven, and now we, you, I, are the light of the world. There are no other lights. If you don't shine your light, it's darkness. Now what does that mean? If you grow weary and you decide that you're just going to give up the work, it's just too hard. I've been doing it for too long. Let somebody else do it. Some younger person, somebody with more zeal. you not only jeopardize your own soul, but you no longer are a light in the world. You're no longer something that draws others to Christ. Paul said that for in due season, if we shall reap if we do not lose heart. When you don't lose heart and you serve God, your light shines. And the lost see that light. And some of them come along the way. You remember Philippians 2, 14 through 16, do all things without disputing or complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked generation. We live in a perverse world. We need to shine as lights in the darkness. And we know that our labor is not in vain, Paul said. That's the reason. That's the encouragement. That's the strength. Be the light of the world that God has called you to be. Imagine Jesus saying to the disciples, "You are the light of the world." He said that to every one of us, every one of you. But remember, Jesus also said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble," that's blocking out the light, "it's better for him than a millstone be tied around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to him because of offenses." So let's just be lights of the world. Number six. Let me ask a question first. Do you believe Jesus brings you peace? Do you believe that you have peace in Jesus? You know, just as somebody was a light in your life, just as somebody was concerned for your soul, just as somebody brought you the gospel, the good news, who taught you the truth, other people in this world depend upon you to do the same. And there are not enough lights in the world. There just aren't. There's a lot of dimly lit bulbs, false teachers, denominational teachers, a lot of kind of like flickering lights out there, but they're not the light. You're the light. And that should be an encouragement that others might see you and realize that you're the light, and that's something they want to go to. It's something they want to hear. They see when you're in the sphere of their existence. That's what a Christian does. That's what it means to not grow weary while doing good, to labor in the vineyard. So if you labor and you don't give up, your light will be seen. Guaranteed. God does the increase, but your light, your seed planting, it'll be seen. So, number six, don't give up because of your fellowship with God. It matters because, you know, you'll find strength, you'll find encouragement, you find meaning for your existence, satisfaction, you find comfort, you find peace, you find purpose in life only in God. Giving up means your fellowship with God is gone. And listen, having fellowship with God in His kingdom is really what it's all about. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, that's what Solomon said. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." When we lose our focus on God, we lose our fellowship with God. We sink into a sea of discouragement, regret, deception, sin, disobedience, a rebellion, evil. Let's read 1 John together. 1 John, and we're going to read chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. John writes, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Very important. Our fellowship with God is a fellowship in righteousness, and we have to practice righteousness in order to do that. Having the right attitude will strengthen us. Psalm 119, verse 28, David, I believe it was David, my soul melts with heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word because of the fellowship we have with God. Have we forgotten Philippians? You know, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Yes, it matters very much what decision we make, whether we give up or not give up. Every step that we take in life. If we've been drifting away from God, it matters very, very much. If we haven't been doing the work, it matters very, very much. If we've been in sin, it matters very, very much. If we seek forgiveness, the angels in heaven rejoice, and God rejoices with them. So, we need to be a people who understand these six things. When you reach out to God, when you reach out to your brethren, that you'll find the strength you need. You'll be able to make the right decision. You'll be able to face the trials. You'll be able to work and not, and the weariness of the work won't cause you to stumble and to fall. The temptation won't take away your strength. You draw closer to God, and God will draw closer to you, as James said. Each battle we face will be done with the help of God. That's what we want. Giving up is not an option. And we must not surrender our souls because we're tired. We have to press on for the higher calling, serving God every day, every step of the way. God is with us. And we need to remember that, no matter how hard it gets. Well, I hope that was encouraging. That was my intent. That we might know the love of God, and that love of God might set us free. That love of God that brings salvation down from heaven. We have a song of invitation to sing tonight. That's song number 478. Take my life, O Father, mold it. Couldn't have been a more perfect ending. In obedience to thy will. When we walk in obedience to God's will, we have no reason ever to give up. If you're a member of the body of Christ, don't give up. Continue to walk in God's will. If you need help with that, if you need the prayers, if you need counsel, whatever, then we're here to help. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, then you need to walk in obedience to Christ. You need to believe the gospel. You need to be baptized into Christ, to have your sins forgiven, to be added to the church. Whatever need you might have this day, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Take my life, oh.